God, we thank you for who you are, for what you're doing. And God, we ask for ears to hear and to listen to your word today. Would you continue to move in this place? And God, would we become more aware of your presence? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. You know, I have been so incredibly grateful for this series that we've been in, looking at Holy Spirit. And I know this series has been life-giving for me as I've just been resting in God's Spirit. And that's been my prayer for you, that you would become more and more and more aware of what God is doing in this world, and that you would choose to actively participate in His will, and that you would listen, be obedient to what Holy Spirit is calling you to do. In these past few weeks, we've asked a few questions of who is Holy Spirit? Why does He matter? And Francis Chan famously wrote a book called The Forgotten God, talking about Holy Spirit. And that's one of the reasons why we're diving in, we're looking at this series, is because we don't want to forget part of who God is. We don't want to forget that He is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit. See, in order for us to really worship God for who He is, that means we have to worship Him for all of who He is, Father, Son, and Spirit. And last week, if you were with us, we looked at the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, and we saw this journey he went on where he went to this valley of dry bones. And there, Holy Spirit met with him, led him there, spoke to him, and empowered him to speak to the dry bones, and they came to life. These bones that were dead, they came to life. And it's a great reminder for us of what Holy Spirit is doing even here and now, how He's bringing what was once dead back to life. And today we're going to look at the New Testament together. We're going to actually be diving into Jesus' words, what He says about God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit who's coming to us, the promise that has been given to us. If you have your Bibles with you today, I invite you to turn to John chapter 14. John is in the New Testament, and you can turn there now. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to use your phone. That's a great option for you. And if you don't have a Bible, a physical, real Bible at home, there are some available for you in the pews. We want you to take one of those home. If you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. One of the ways that we learn is by reading Scripture. And one of the ways that we grow in our relationship is by diving into God's Word. And so if you don't have a Bible, please take one of those home. We would love for you to do that today. In John 14, this is in Jesus' last week on earth. And Jesus, at this point, washed his disciples' feet. He predicted that he was going to be betrayed by Judas. He told Peter that you're going to deny me three times. And then in the following three chapters, 14, 15, 16, 17, four chapters, can't count, Jesus says some of his most famous words to us. He says things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to grade on that one, or will you be good? And then he says, nobody comes to the Father except through me. He also says, if you love me, you would obey my commandments. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. And then he reminds the disciples that here on earth, there's going to be hard times, there's trials, there's difficulty, there's sorrows. And then he says, take heart because I have overcome the world. And Jesus uses this time of teaching, and he ends this time of teaching in John 17, where he prays over the disciples, and he prays over actually all of us. And I love this passage in John 17 where Jesus says these words. He says, for all. I pray for all who will ever believe in me through their message, the disciples' message, because it's a great reminder for us that Jesus isn't so far away. See, Jesus in his final moment said, I'm thinking of you. Those of you who are here today in this place, I want you to know Jesus thought of you. He's not far away, but he's present. He's here and he's thinking of you here now in this moment. And then backing up, going back to John 14, Jesus says these words in verses 15 through 21. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He says, he's the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, and they don't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now, and he will be in you later. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you soon. The world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you too will also live. And when I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And then he says, and because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. The beginning of that passage, John 14, verse 15, is a very, very famous line. We've often used it in the church to say, to answer a question, to say, I'm a Christian, now what? And we've used this line to say, well, Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. It's that easy. And we say that and think it's just that simple, but this whole passage reminds us that there's way more to Jesus' words right there. See, I want you to journey with me for a moment back to your favorite English class growing up. Mine was 10th grade. Mr. Takins was his name. I saw that look from somebody to one of our English teachers here in the building. She's over there. But if we read verse 16, it starts with a word that's a conjunction. Verse 16 starts by saying, and. So Jesus says these words, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That conjunction is a coordinating conjunction. That means that it joins two independent sentences together as one. So Jesus doesn't say that if you love me, obey my commandments, and just leave it there. He says, and here's something extra. Here's another thing with it. He connects it by saying, if you love me, here's what is going to happen. You'll obey my commandments, and I'm giving to you the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus is essentially saying. He says, you've told me you've loved me, you've been following me, you're living your life with me, you tell me you're committed to me, you've learned from me. And then he says, I'm leaving you. And if you really do love me, at this moment, you're going to have to start to do what you've been saying you're going to do. Essentially, Jesus tells him, it's time to put your money where your mouth is. It's time to walk what you've been talking. And let's be quite honest with one another here. What Jesus has commanded of us, his commandments, it's a really, really high bar. The standard is way up here. Here are some of the things that he's commanded us to do. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Go the extra mile and turn the other cheek. Forgive those who have hurt you. And when you have done something wrong, fix it before you come to the altar to pray. He said, don't worry. He said, give away all that you have so that others can live. He's commanded us not to judge one another, to serve others, and to take up our cross. And if you think you can do all of that, here's the one that we'll always probably fall short of. Be perfect. Like God the Father is perfect. That's just a few of the things that Jesus expects of us as his followers. And that's a really high bar. But Jesus knows that's a high standard. And before his disciples, or even we for that matter, can begin to make excuses, he gives us a promise that he's going to send us somebody to help us do what he is asking us to do. We need the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot do what Jesus has commanded us to do alone. We need the Holy Spirit. And we're going to need the Holy Spirit as our advocate when we're in need. See, Jesus in John 14, 16 tells us, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, one who will never leave you." There's a Greek word there used for advocate, and it can be translated to mean helper. Jesus says that I am sending you another helper, another one. That means like Jesus, who is going to help us. This word, it's parakletos. I think I said that right. If not, you can ask somebody else later. You can look it up. But this word, parakletos, is found five times in Scripture, four of which are in this passage that John is using right here, where Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. The fifth one is actually in one of John's letters, where he's talking about Jesus. And what's interesting is the word that's used there for advocate and helper, translated literally, means one who comes alongside to help. Currently, in this day, that word in Greek, in the Mediterranean, is used to talk about a rescue boat that finds another vessel that's lost, that's in desperation, and that leads the frantic lost people back to safe harbor. To me, that's a beautiful visual of who Holy Spirit is as our advocate. That when we're lost, when we feel desperate, when we feel alone in the middle of the ocean or in the middle of the world in which we live in, Holy Spirit comes to us as our helper and brings us back into the safe harbor of God the Father. And Jesus fully is aware that following him is very, very difficult and that we're going to need help. We're going to need a helper. Jesus tells us that our job is to be like him, is to live like him, and to do as he commanded us to do. And he says that he's going to be with us as we're doing these things, with his Spirit always with us, never leaving us, always working on our behalf to empower us to do what we are meant to do, to follow him. Now let's be honest together. All of this looks really, really great for us. I think most of us would say, yes, we welcome the help. We welcome Holy Spirit. We want him to help us because, yeah, the standard is really, really high. That's not our problem. Our problem is not in verse 16 with the promise. Our problem is in verse 15 of our requirements that we obey his commandments. The problem is we struggle with obedience. We resist. We fight it. Sometimes it's probably because we don't understand what he's asking us to do. Or maybe we're confused about what Jesus and Holy Spirit are asking us to do. Or maybe we just don't want to do it because we like our way of life. The real problem is we're not very good at being obedient. And I would say that's probably because we've taken obedience out of the context of a loving relationship. See, Jesus, when he's talking about this obedience here, he says that there's something that happens first. He says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. That relationship is first, that there's meant to be a love for Jesus, out of which we are obedient to do what he's asking us to do. It's our love that calls us to be obedient, to living as he showed us to live. But that requires us to have a helper. And the helper comes in the form of somebody who's really, really close to us. In fact, they're so close that they live inside of us. That's God's Spirit. Someone who can transform our hearts from the inside out. The Lord told the prophet Ezekiel, the one that we talked about last week, exactly what it is Holy Spirit can do. And before taking Ezekiel to the Valley of the Dry Bones, before bringing the dead to life, God told him these words in Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. He said, "And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, your stubborn heart and give you a tender and responsive heart. And I will put my spirit on you so that you will be able to follow my decrees and you will be carefully obey my regulations." That's the work of Holy Spirit as our advocate. That's what we need in this life. One who comes and gives us a spiritual makeover. That's the job of Holy Spirit, is to come and completely transform our hearts, not to just be a quality inspector of them, but to completely change them so that we're like Jesus. We need this inward transformation. We need someone who is willing and will go and help our hearts grow tender towards God. Somebody who will increase our desire to be more like Jesus, to grow to love others as Jesus did, and to live and to do what Jesus has asked us to do. And it also means that we need a guide in our life. See, what's amazing about this word parakletos is that it can be transformed into a few different words. It can be translated. And one of them is a guide, and we need a guide who helps us in our purpose for being here on earth. We've talked about this verse every single week that we've been in this series. And it's a verse found in Acts. It's Acts 1:8. And these are Jesus' words to his disciples. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, that's exactly what happened on the day the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples. All of the followers, the ones who were once scared, the ones who were behind the locked doors, they were completely transformed, and then they were guided by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the name of Jesus. And this happened to people like Paul. Paul was a man who once denied Jesus' existence, not his existence, but who he was, his deity, that he was God's son. He denied that fact. And Paul was somebody who murdered Christ followers. And then the Holy Spirit comes and meets with Paul in a very real and powerful way. And his life is completely transformed. And what we see is now Paul is living a life guided by Holy Spirit to continue the mission of the church, to share the name of Jesus so that others can be saved. And Holy Spirit does that with all of us. People who are everyday, ordinary people, God wants to transform us by His Holy Spirit and guide us in our purpose, in our mission, to tell others about Jesus. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, we're told these words. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. See, as we're living in step with Holy Spirit, as He's guiding us and our hearts are being transformed because we're in need, what begins to happen is our lives look different and we begin to live out of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that means that we are people who are loving, who are joyful, who are patient, who are full of peace, who are kind, who are good, who are faithful, who are gentle, and who show self-control. All of these things come from Holy Spirit, and we need Him to guide us in order for us to produce this fruit. See, Holy Spirit's come to be with us as our guide. And in order to live out what Jesus has commanded us to do, that means we have to be connected to the vine of Jesus. That's what Jesus told us in John 15:5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, I will remain in them, and they will produce much fruit. Because apart from them, apart from me, they can do nothing. See, Jesus told his disciples that I'm coming and Holy Spirit's coming to give you a new heart. Get rid of the stony heart, a heart that's responsive, one that's going to be transformed, and you're going to live differently, but you have to be connected to me. And that's how you're going to be able to live as I'm calling you to live. But what I love is Jesus is continually fully aware of all that we need in our life. And he knows that this is going to be difficult, that this transformation is going to be hard, that there's going to be things that we have to sacrifice and give up, that the road is tough. And for that reason, Jesus knew that we also need a comforter in Holy Spirit. See, that's who Holy Spirit is. The word in John 14 can also be translated into comforter. And when I think of that image of that rescue boat, one that goes out to people who are lost and desperate and feel alone, I can't help but imagine the comfort that one must feel when you see a boat appear as you're lost. Now, I don't know about you, but I was a kid who was left at the grocery store growing up. I was the youngest of four, and so my mom thought 3 out of 4, those are like Hall of Fame numbers in baseball, so she's good. I'm kidding. But I remember the feeling of being lost in the grocery store. I can tell you it was the Meijer grocery store on 54th Street in Wyoming, Michigan. I remember right where it was. And the lady, the cashier who stayed with me, her name was Kay Smith. It's burned in my brain, right? But I remember the feeling of my mom walking back into the store and the comfort of her hug. And knowing that she cares about me, knowing that she's concerned about me and came to find me. That's the comfort that's available to us in God's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is someone who will hold us, who hears us, and who knows us. Holy Spirit's someone who tells us that we're valuable, that we matter, and that we're worthy of care and concern. Jesus tells his disciples in the middle of teaching them about what's going to come, he talks to them about this gift of peace that they're going to experience. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. It's a gift of peace of mind and heart. Then he says, and the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. Don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. Then he says, if you really loved me, you'd be happy that I'm going to the Father, the one who's greater than I am. And then he includes this. He says, I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. Jesus, he promised to be with the disciples in a way that they had never experienced before. And the way he promised to be with them is actually when he left through his Holy Spirit. And there's nothing like the comfort, there's nothing we can find in this world like the comfort that we receive from Holy Spirit. See, we often get focused on this world that's going to come. You know, we think of heaven and how it's going to be this amazing place. And it is. Don't hear me wrong. Like, heaven is going to be amazing. And I can't wait for the day that we all get to celebrate and praising and honoring God for who he is and all he's done. Like, I'm excited for that. We are to have hope, but we're not meant to lose hope in the world that we live in now. We're not called to just simply wait to experience all that God has for us someday. But we're meant to experience it here and now. Jesus promised them then, and he still has the promise for us now. that His Holy Spirit's available to us at all times, empowering us to live a life of abundance here and now. The promise of God's Spirit that's in us, that's transforming our hearts, that's guiding us in real time, that's comforting us, that's with us. We may not realize it, but heaven is available here and now on earth. God is with us here and now. He's empowering us, guiding us, comforting us, loving us, living with us here and now. As I think about the Holy Spirit who God promised us, the Holy Spirit Jesus talks to us about, the one who leads us, transforms us, guides us, is our advocate, comforts us, loves us in a way we've never known love. I wonder, where do you need the Holy Spirit? Where is it that you need Holy Spirit right now in your life? Now, do you need Him as an advocate? One who transforms you from the inside out? Do you need Him to guide you, walking with you every day in real life with all the choices you have to make? Or do you need Him to comfort you right here, right now in this moment, to hold you close, to bring you back to safe harbor? And I also wonder, when's the last time you actually talked to Holy Spirit? When's the last time you spoke to Him by name? You prayed and said, Holy Spirit, would You be my advocate? Would You transform me? Would You guide me? Would You comfort me? Maybe now, today, this week, maybe now is the time to do it. See, Jesus gave this promise to His disciples of the one who's to come. But He's available here and now. Holy Spirit was with them, and He's with you. That promise is true today and always. Would you pray with me? God, we thank You for the promise of Holy Spirit, who You've freely given to us. And God, as we sang earlier, would we become more and more and more aware of Your presence in our lives? Holy Spirit, would You be our advocate? Would You transform us from the inside out? Remove the stony, stubborn hearts and give us a tender, responsive heart to You. And Holy Spirit, would You be our guide every day of our life, producing the fruit in us that can only come from You, helping us to be more and more like Jesus and to remain close to the heart of the Father. And Holy Spirit, would You be our comfort? God, I know there are many people here in this place that are going through difficult times. There's questions that they can't seem to answer. There's things that are happening where life just feels really unfair. And God, we ask that we experience the gift of Your peace with a hug from the Holy Spirit. Would we know Your love like we've never known before? Not as the world gives, but as only You can give. Would You meet us here and now with Your comfort? Holy Spirit, would You continue to renew in us a heart and a fire for the gospel like never before, so that more and more people can come to know You. Be with us as we leave this place and as we go about our day and our week. Help us to walk in step with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this week. Our prayer is that you go knowing Holy Spirit is with you as your advocate, as your guide, and as your comforter. You are dismissed.